I'm asking you all, would stand, please. And if you've got your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is where we're going to begin. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gardenas. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met with him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain, so all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine, that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had... And the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has had compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." Dad, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Father in heaven, we thank you for the story of the holds. We thank you that it has a spiritual meaning. We thank you, Father, that you're our God. We love you. We want to always do your will and not ours. We ask you to bless this service tonight. The speaker might have the grace of speaking freely in a way that we can all go away saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. We ask your blessings on Victory Church, upon our pastor as he goes for business, the first leg of his being away, and then for a little R&R later. We ask that you direct him, keep him safe, and bring them back to us at a time that you have appointed for them to be back with us. We ask again your direction in our lives. Forgive our sins and direct our steps, and we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, in chapter 4, we find where Jesus has been in the boat, and he's been in the storm, and you have the disciples where they're scared to death. They don't know what's going to happen, and Jesus said, "Peace be still." And the storm calmed. And so you've got a man of great power that has everything under his control. Everything under his control. In chapter 4, he looks at his disciples and he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? We find ourselves there in this spot, in this boat with Jesus. And they come across and they see this man, who we read in the first 15 verses of chapter 5, he was demon-possessed. And I want to say we find the story is a normal encounter. And I say that because we're all wracked with sin. We may not be in the tombs and been chained up and running around naked and just being uncontrollable, but we're all wracked up with sin. And when we find Jesus finds us in that point, and he comes across the shore and sees us, it's a normal encounter for Jesus every day to find people in a sinful condition. Jesus had already sent the unclean spirits away once in Mark. And we find him reaching the other side and immediately met by this man and this legion of demons. And the first thing he said to him was, "Come out and leave him alone." That's power. He just got through taking a storm that he just came through to get to this man and said, "Stop. Peace be still." And then he walks up to this legion of demons and he says, "Get out of him." Man, that's a man I want to follow. That's a man that I want to have something to do with. That's a man that I don't understand how these disciples that he called and said, "Follow me," and he looks at him and said, "How is it that you don't have any faith?" I don't get that. I don't get that in our lives when he looks at us and he says, "How do you not have faith? You see, I've done these things." You see, there's three things in these scriptures that we look at. Satan, society, and a Savior. Satan controls a lot of things in our lives. He controls a lot of things in this world, and see, we have that messed up. Satan may think he controls this world, and we allow him to do that. Satan may think he controls us, so we allow him to do that. But we've got it backwards. God is in control of everything. And we've got to understand that. The same forces that were at work with this man are the same forces that are at work today. Legion. Man, they're demons. They're fallen angels. They're people who Jesus knows, and they know Jesus. And so when he walks up, "What am I to do with you?" Or what are you? Here's what it says. He said, and they asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. See, they had said right before that, "What are we supposed to do? Or what are you supposed to do with me, Jesus? The Son of the Most High God. I implore you by God that you don't torment, that you don't send me out to oblivion, that you just send me to something that I can still control." You know, they ask, "Can we be sent into a swine?" Does an animal have a soul? No. An animal doesn't have a soul. So, guys, I'm sorry, all dogs don't go to heaven. That movie's a farce. Animals don't have a soul. But you see, the people that were in control of the swine still have soul. The demons asked to be sent into something that would still affect people's lives. They're still affecting people's lives. They lost their livelihood. They lost so much stuff. I want to read something to you. And I want to bring it back up here in just a second. "So those who fed the swine, and they told it in the city and in the country, they went out to see what it was that happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed. And we go on down, and they begged him to leave, to depart." You see, instead of seeing the guy that calmed the storm, instead of seeing the guy that freed the man and following him, they said, "Leave. You may be powerful and you may be exactly what we need, but leave." See, each and every one of those owners of that swine could have accepted Jesus that day. They could have looked at him and said, "You are our Savior." But instead, the demons went in and affected their lives. Lives get affected by Satan. Satan is a destroyer. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal and to destroy." Guys, that's what he's doing. You realize that? On a daily basis, Jesus is there and he is front and center, because as Christians, that's where we're supposed to have him, right? Everybody's supposed to see Jesus front and center. But Satan is coming and he's destroying. I don't like that. I don't like that Satan comes to destroy. Anybody else like that Satan comes to destroy? No? Now I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Stop allowing him to do that in your life. If he's doing it in your life, if he's doing it in your family's life, stop it. Ask God to help you. Let him be front and center. You see, we live in a society that has lost their ever-loving mind. Everybody agree with me? That this society has lost their ever-loving mind. And it's because of Satan. Because he has such a grip on us. Satan is strong. Satan is powerful. If you were to bind me up with chains, I'm stuck. I can't get out of it. Whatever you want me to do, you put me in a thumb hold and I'm probably going to go wherever you want me to go. But society tried to bind this guy up. And he broke through everything there was. It wasn't this guy. It was the power of Satan. The power of those demons that was taking care of all that. Society has stopped trying to chain him crazy though. Have y'all realized that? Crazy has become the norm. It has become the complete normal for us to deal with. If you don't believe me, go to Fayetteville. If you don't believe me, go to some other places. But we have stopped trying to say this is wrong. And we've accepted so many things. Society is nuts. When society doesn't know the cure, they rely on their own strength. See, that's the way it was with this demon-possessed man. They didn't know the cure. The cure is Jesus. They didn't know the cure. And so they decided they were going to put him in chains. They decided they were going to lock him up. They decided they were going to push him away and leave him alone. But the cure is Jesus. Men tried to bind him. And Satan tried to confine him. And that's where we find her right now. The same thing is going on in our lives, in our world, is that we're being bound by what man thinks is right. We're being confined by what Satan wants us to abide by. And as long as this society and this world keeps pushing in that direction, they're going to still push away the cure just like these men did who lost their swine. Leave us alone. Leave our city. That's not what we need. This world needs a Savior. Jesus came through the storm to reach this man. Through the storm. You going through a storm in your life? You may not be in the ship. You may be floating around out in the water. But I know so many people in their lives who are in the middle of a storm. And I promise you, Jesus can come through the middle of that storm to set you free. Amen. Jesus did not bind this man to sin. He freed him. He didn't leave him in the spot that he was in. In fact, the guy came out and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "All the rest of that mess that's in you, get out." And immediately, it was gone. Jesus was begged by society to leave. But this new believer, this new guy, let me read to you. Verse 14, it says, "So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart the region. And when he got into the boat, it's part of the story that is tough on me. When people push Jesus away so much that he got in the boat to leave. Guys, we can push Jesus so far and push his love away so much that I don't want him to get in the boat and leave at ever any one time. And he got into his boat, and he who had been demon possessed, the guy that he had just freed from his sin, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. You see, he wanted to stay right there with him. He didn't care what society had done to him. He didn't care that society was pushing Jesus away. He wanted Jesus there. He wanted to hang on to him. He wanted to be right with Him. He wanted to get in the boat and follow Him. He wanted to go and do the things Jesus wanted Him to do. But Jesus looked at Him and said this. However, Jesus did not permit Him in verse 19. But He said to Him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you." You see, Jesus told him to go and tell what was going on. Society doesn't want me here, but it's your job. I need you to go tell everybody you know. Your friends, your family. Society doesn't want me here, but you believe who I am. And I need you to go tell. That's something that each and every one of us needs to take hold of. Society doesn't want you. Society doesn't want Jesus. And I can tell you right now, society doesn't want you talking about Him in your workplace. He doesn't want you talking about Him in your home. He doesn't want you talking about it in our government. He doesn't want you even talking about it here in this church. But Jesus said, go tell. They don't want me, but you do, and you've got a job to do. So go do it. Go tell them. And this is what I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them what has been done. I want you to tell them that I freed you from your sinful condition. I freed you from Satan who has bound you and made you a wreck. That's powerful, guys. That Jesus freed him from that. Have you told somebody about how Jesus has freed you from that spot? I was 8 when I was saved. I'll be 45 in a month and a half, whatever it is. Sometimes I forget what happened at 8. Anybody else there? That you forget what happened at 8? The fresher something is that it happened, the more we remember it and we're able to recall it. But something about salvation is something that needs to be fresh with us every day. It needs to be renewed every day. I'm not saying that you have to ask Jesus to save you every day. But that feeling, that closeness, that walk with Him in that moment, you need to feel that every day. So you'll be able to tell what has been done. The second thing He told him was, who did it? He didn't just say, go tell people what to do. Tell them I did it. Tell them it was Jesus Christ from Nazareth. The guy that is going to the cross, the guy that is going to die for you, the guy that is going to shed the blood for you. That's who I want you to say who did this. It wasn't one of those things where Jesus said, you tell them I did it, and being boastful about it. You go tell them that Jesus did this. So there is no doubt. There is no doubt there was any external forces at work. There is no doubt that there was things that they didn't think was proper. And when I say I'm the Son of God, they're going to believe it was me. Because I'm the one that called the storm. And I'm the one that kicked the demons out. And He told him, He said, tell them how it was done. He said, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. How great is it to walk up to somebody after this episode happened? What happened? Well, Jesus came up and He said, leave. And they were gone. And that's the guy, the Savior. You see, it's that easy. Salvation is not hard to accept. Salvation is not one of these things where you've got to go through all these different situations. The only thing you have to do is say, Jesus, my life is wrecked. And I believe that You are the Son of God. And I believe that You have come to save me. And I accept You as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry for what I've done. Would You come and live in my heart and take control of my life? It's simple. Jesus said, leave. The man had faith. He was to tell people about that. See, the society's reaction to the pigs and the society's reaction to man were two different things. And I want you to notice something from this man. The Scripture doesn't continue with him begging and saying, no, I want to go with you. It says this, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis. all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. He went from that moment with obedience. From that moment, and to tell people exactly what Jesus had done for him and how it was done, so other people could know about his love and his Savior that he has accepted. Society was given a cure over Satan, but they wanted the Savior to leave. And I wonder how many of y'all tonight are sitting here, or how many people you come in contact with on a daily basis who you are giving the cure to, but all they want to do is have Jesus leave because they don't want anybody else involved in their life. Guys, it's important. It's important. Verse 19, it says, go and tell. Tell how much the Lord has done for you. And that's my challenge for you tonight. To tell how much the Lord has done for you. Everywhere you go, every second of the day, oh man, I know it's hard. Every second of the day, I'm not always a happy camper. Not always thinking about Jesus. But guys, everywhere you go, leave a mark. Leave Jesus. He's worth it. He's worth it for somebody to look at me and go, you're a crazy nut that should be chained up. And I hate you. That's fine. Hate me all you want. Accept my Jesus. And let Him love you. Let Him change hearts. Tonight, if you find yourself in that spot, and you don't know who Jesus is, and you're chained up, and the tomb is all around you, and you're running around, and I ask tonight that this will be the night that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He can calm any storm, kick anything out. That's my Savior, my God, that will take care of all of those needs in any way that you need them. As we stand tonight, Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for allowing us to come to you in prayer. Father, I just ask that tonight that your presence be known, that you would touch hearts and lives would be changed. Father, we know that you are capable of it. Through this scripture and through this story, we know that you are capable of changing lives in ways that we can't understand. But Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you for the opportunity tonight to speak your name. In your name I pray.